Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my co-host, Minister Harold Copeland. And we are super excited to be in the studio today proclaiming the gospel and just flipping through the pages of the Word of God. And we pray that you are excited as well. That joy cometh in the morning. This joy, the world, no, they can't take it away. And this joy that we have, the world didn't even give it to us. So this type of joy that we possess, the joy of the Lord, remember the joy of the Lord, is our strength. So cleave to the joy, hold fast to the joy of the Lord, and be renewed, be empowered by the joy of the Lord, and know that everything that God provides for us, in us, and through us is a joy. It may not feel like it, you may not think it is, and it might not even look like it, but keep in mind, my brothers and sisters, it's not what it looks like. We hold fast to the promises of God. We hold fast to the miracles that take place in our lives that God shows forth to us, and we hold fast to Him living inside of us. And that is what the joy of the Lord is. All of His promises, my brothers and sisters. So we are still moving through this wonderful series, Righteous and Holy. And Minister Copeland has done a wonderful job explaining to us, or should I say expounding on the Word of God through the Bible, showing us how righteous and holy are together, that they are a gift of God. Further, we want you to bring your Bible, pull it out, or grab your device, pull up your Bible app, and we always encourage you to have some sort of a paper or a pad or your journal to write notes and take notes as we move through the pages, that the Holy Spirit will bring sweet nuggets to you to pin down on paper so that you can go back and listen and to what He's saying to you through the Word of God. This is so important as a disciple of Jesus Christ that we refresh our minds, go back to our journals and revisit these wonderful nuggets that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. Such a very important piece of being a disciple of God, that we would grow and go in grace. So Brother Harold and I are always excited that you come with listening ears and a willingness of soul to want to draw into God deeper and more intimate with Him through Mission from the Heart. So Minister Copeland, we'll pick up where we left off on last broadcast, and we are in part 6 of this wonderful series, Righteous and Holy. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in all things. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Hello again, everybody. Shalom. We release the peace of God upon you on this great day. God bless you. We release the blessings of God upon you on this great day. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, it is an honor and a privilege always, always, we look forward week after week after week to this hour where we come back into the studio and we are together with you again in the studio. Well, I would like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We always want you to know that it is an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for your lives. But importantly, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will release God's divine plan and purpose for your life. And you too shall stand and proclaim the oracles of God to this lost in dying world. Hallelujah. Yes, we're currently on our series, as was said earlier, our series, Righteous and Holy. Righteous. Right standing with God. And that's the only standing that matters. If we have right standing with God, then right standing with our brothers and sisters will line up just through our obedience unto him and our faithfulness unto him for what he has already done for us. Holy, holy being separated, set apart. Amen. Not to be like the world. No. Separated to be a light in this old dark world. And you know, where do light shine the brightest? In the darkest. And if this world gets darker and darker and darker and darker and darker, guess what? It's an opportunity for us for our light to shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Righteous and holy. Man, we're going to go ahead and dive right on into this teaching that we can illuminate more truth into your heart, into your mind, into your soul. And as you know, we always like to start out with our lunch pass scripture. And our lunch pass scripture for this series comes out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Starting with verse 20 through verse 24. Let us read that.
Ephesians 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Put on the new man. In righteousness and true holiness. And how do we attain this? I'm glad you asked. It's not by our performance. As we read our next lunch pass scripture out of the book of Ephesians, back two chapters, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9.
Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Amen.
Amen. Through the love of God, the agape, the unconditional love of God, not based on our actions, our performance, any type of condition, not even to the point that we could say God has love for you. No, God is love for you. The very essence of God being is that unconditional love. Not the watered-down humanistic love that we see every day, even in the house of the believers. But God love is just not based on condition. And that's hard to grasp with the human mind. But it's true. And we have to receive it by faith. We can't feel it. I'll tell you what, there's sometimes we don't even understand it. I don't understand. Why? Because we know our actions. And because we know our actions and all of our actions are not good, sometimes it gets hard for us to love ourselves. And our love for ourselves shifts. When we think we're doing good for God, I mean, we don't love heaven. We ain't love heaven. But when we make a couple of mistakes and fail, then our love shifts and we feel condemned and unworthy. But God's love is solid. It's stable. It's a rock. Like we said, it's the very essence of who he is. And God's love for us will not change because of our performance, whether it's good or bad. We always remain in that righteous state and in that holy state in his presence because he has already made us, made us by giving us this righteous and holy realm as a gift. Amen. Now, let us go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, 4 and 6.
Isaiah 64:6. But we are all like an unclean thing. And all our righteous are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Amen.
Amen. And we said even last week that that does not apply to New Testament believers. That applies to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant believers. We, as the New Testament believers, we have a greater covenant based on greater things than they had. Our covenant is based on the life of Christ, the finished work of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament believers didn't have that. So Christ wasn't their righteousness. They had to produce a self-righteousness. And all self-righteousness is an unclean thing in the presence of God. All self-righteousness is a filthy rag in the presence of God. But we as a New Testament people, we do not come into the presence of God with a self-righteousness because we cannot do enough in ourselves to produce a righteousness that God would accept. Never. It could never happen. So that's why God, in his wisdom, who loved the people that could not be a people on their own by their own doing and their own righteousness, he gave us the righteousness that we need to come into his presence. And that righteousness is the very person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And that's why we cannot call our righteousness an unclean thing, because Jesus is our righteousness, and by far, he is not an unclean thing. He is the most cleansing one, amen, that ever stepped foot in the earth realm forever and ever and ever and ever. And he is our righteousness, and we cannot call our righteousness a filthy rag, because our Jesus is our righteousness. So Isaiah 64:6 is not valid. I mean, it's valid for the Old Testament, but it's not valid for the New Testament. And the reason it's valid for the Old Testament, because no one was born again in the Old Testament. And we know the requirements of being born again. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, Jesus hadn't even come on the scene as the Savior during the Old Testament time. So, and when we know that he did not die yet, and we know if he didn't die, then he wasn't able to be risen from the dead. So there was no way anybody in the Old Testament that could confess Jesus as Lord. And they just couldn't believe that God raised him from the dead, because it just haven't happened yet. So this New Testament salvation that we are so blessed with was not available for Old Testament. Did not have this righteousness that was given to us, because they did not even have brand new spirits. In other words, they wasn't born again. And born again means that they wasn't born from above. This great spirit we got on the inside of us was born from above, signifying that the birth came from God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we should treasure this new birth. And as the scripture says, put off the old man who's corrupt in all of his deceitful lusts. Get rid of him. Then he said, put on the new man who's created a man after God in righteousness and true holiness. Let's put him on. Praise God. He's a gift. The new man. His name is Jesus. And he become our righteous. He become our holy. He set us apart for God. And just open up your heart and put him on. If you're born again, open up your heart and put him on. And if you're not born again, this is the greatest day of your life, because you will get that opportunity. But as we just walk through the teaching, and putting them on is just, do not lean to our own understanding. Let's not let our circumstances pull us out of faith that God got this. God working it together. Let's let not our situations make us bring doubt and unbelief that it won't happen for me. Oh, yes, it will. It's happening now. Man, as we put on Jesus, put on the new man, put on righteous, put on holiness, righteous and truly holiness. It's a gift. And, man, let's don't take this gift and just go throw it in the closet somewhere. Amen. This is the greatest gift that we can get in all eternity. So let's put it on. Put on that righteousness. Come against every condemnation that will say that you are not righteous, that you're a failure, you'll never make it, or you're nobody, you'll never amount to nothing. No, we take off those lies. We put on righteousness. Amen. Let's put on holiness. Well, you're not a man of God. You're not a woman of God. Let's destroy those lies. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. God has chosen you, handpicked you for such an hour as this. You're not of the world. Amen. You're not that what the world say you are. Amen. God has plucked you out of the world and brought you into his kingdom. He has, holy means to be set apart, consecrated. Amen. God has set you apart for his use, to be meet for the master's use in his hand. Been set apart, been consecrated. Consecrated means separated from the world. They can do it, but we can't do it. Amen. they are affront, amen, to the heart of God, but we're not. We're pleasing to the heart of God because of the gift, because of Jesus, because he becoming our righteousness and Jesus becoming our holiness. So let's put him on. Take off of that old man, those old sinful things, sinful nature. We got a brand new nature, a nature, the very nature of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, birthed in the resurrection life of Jesus Christ on the inside of us, the Word of God becoming a living Word. You are the living Word. Amen, living on the inside of us. And see, regardless of how good the Old Testament people lived in their physical and soulless realm, they still sinned and came short of the glory of God. Amen. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know we read that scripture, but I want to read it again. Amen. That's in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Let us read that again. And see, faith come by hearing, not having heard. And maybe somebody said, well, Brother Copeland, we heard that scripture before. Amen. But the Bible don't say haven't heard. It's a hearing. Hearing is an ongoing hearing. Hearing. Ongoing over and over and over until it drops down in the spirit, man. And see, once that word drops down in the spirit, man, one heart would not be saying, well, we heard that scripture. No, one heart will be saying, hallelujah, because one has come one with that truth, and that truth has come one with you. Amen. And you know that truth, and you'll know it. Amen. You know that you know that. Amen. Glory to God. That it's not because you didn't sin, but it's because Jesus has already paid the price for our sins. Of today, yesterday, and forever. So let's read that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23.
Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen.
Amen, and that's true. But, somebody say but. Once we become born again, somebody say born again, okay? Receive the new birth. And remember, born again means being born from above. Amen. That this birth is orchestrated by God. Amen. And powered by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural birth. Amen. A divine birth. A kingdom birth that birthed us into a kingdom identity. In other words, that God has ordained for us to do while we are here in the earth realm. But when we receive that birth, one third of our being is completely, somebody say completely, yes, completely righteous and completely holy. And that is our spirit man. Praise God. And you know how we say it here. We're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. And the way we say it here is we are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. And when God saved us, he saved our spirit, man, to the uttermost, completely righteous, completely holy. There is no sin in our spirit, man. And, you know, that's why when confusion try to get in my mind and my body may get fatigued, and, you know, I'm at the point, you know, and then I see the whirlwind of the world going around, you know, and I'm at the point, you know, maybe I don't know what to do. But I tell you what, I know how to go sit in my spirit and rest in the midst of all the confusion on the outside. I mean, my spirit, man, is anchored. It's my spirit always, no matter what's going on, I can always go into my spirit. And you can too. Amen. Just go in there and rest. There's no sin in there. Everything in there is perfect. Just like Jesus. Holy Spirit, there's no power greater than the power that we got in our spirit, man. righteousness, holiness. The fruit of the Spirit is there. Love, the agape, joy unspeakable. And as Minister Smith was saying in her introduction, that the world didn't give us its joy. So that means that this joy don't come out of whether circumstances line up, our situation is going right, or the mountain is. No, it's a supernatural divine joy that comes through the Spirit. Peace. And Jesus defined the peace as the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It baffles people's mind. How can they have peace? I know what they're going through. How can they have peace? I know what just happened. How can they have peace and their boss treated them like that? Well, it's not based on circumstances. The peace, this joy is not based on circumstances, situations, on what people do or what we do or what's going on. It's divine, supernatural. It comes through the Spirit of the living God. And it's available in every circumstance and every. We are anchored in this peace. Love, joy, peace. Long suffering. You should be sick and tired of that person by now. Hey, I tell you what, I don't have a right to be sick and tired about anybody, because God never got sick and tired about me. He was long suffering with Brother Copeland. Long suffering. And because of that, I have learned to be long-suffering with my brothers and my sisters. Gentle. Gentle. God is gentle. There's times I thought he should get his judge gavel and just pop me upside the head. But no, he was gentle and loving to me. He always had his arms out. And when I messed up, he didn't condemn me. He said, receive. You're in the right place for my grace. I don't condemn you. I give you grace. I have more grace than your mess, Harold. You can't mess up enough that you're going to use up my grace. My grace is sufficient and abundant towards you. Man, and all that beautiness is in our spirit, man. But our body and our soul, they're not there yet. And they won't be there until Jesus Christ come back in glory. So in our body and our soul, we never arrive. See, we already arrived in our spirit, man. We there. Amen. I'm going to bring some scripture in line this up. Amen. But we're there in the spirit, man. But the soul and the body, they just leave. They never get there. And they just head in the direction of going there. Our physical, emotional, and mental realm will always need improvement while we're here on the earth. We'll always need improvement. But our spirit is complete. And that's why we got to know, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, yes, we are a three-part being. We have a spirit, soul, and body, but we are a spirit, which is, if you're saved right now, you're perfect and complete in the presence of God. But you don't know what I thought. It doesn't matter. Amen. And you hold on to that truth and your identity in Christ, then your thought's going to end up lining up, amen, to who you really are. And our actions are going to line up. But first, we got to believe what the Word of God says about us. And then we got to hold fast to that confession of faith in everything else, our minds and our bodies. Our minds will get renewed. And that's what we call renewing the mind. Our minds will get renewed and our bodies. Once we got a renewed mind, then our mind will tell our bodies to do the renewed things and not the old things. And our bodies will begin to line up with the renewed things, which comes out of the Word of God. Our spirit man connected to the Spirit of the living God. Now, since God is a spirit, God looks at us spirit to spirit. Another familiar scripture. Let's go in there. John, Book of John, chapter 4, in verse 24.
John 4:24.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen. And see, God's presence is in our spirits. The life of Christ is in our spirits. Holy Spirit is in our spirit. And when we open up our spirit, man, and begin to worship God, that's why the atmosphere is full with the presence of God when there's a spirit worship. And that brings forth the presence of Holy Spirit, which is the anointing. And that's how the anointing comes forth in the service, when you have a choir that's know how to worship God in the spirit and truth, and you're sitting and listening, and you can sense the power of God coming through the atmosphere of the church. Because we're worshiping him out of our spirit, man. Now, of course, I have seen churches that sang in the natural, and there was no presence of God in there, amen, because they wasn't abreast to this truth. Amen. We got to have the presence of God. Amen. That's in our praises, in our worship, in our preaching, in our teaching, in our praying. We got to have the presence of God. And that the presence of God only comes forth as we begin to perform these different worship out of our spirit, man, because God is a spirit, and we relate to him spirit to spirit. And we must worship him. Worship. Now, worship takes on a connotation of any type of fellowship that we have with him must be done from our spirits through his spirit. Glory to God. And God wants us to have a fellowship with him throughout the day. Amen. This is not just, some people turn God on Sundays. Okay, I got to go to church. Let me put on my religious hat. Okay, then once they leave, they take it off. And then Wednesday night Bible study. All right, time to go to Bible study. Get ready. Put on your religious face. Time to turn God on. And once that service is off, they turn it off. But this is an intimate relationship. It's ongoing. It's a lifestyle. Somebody say lifestyle. Yes. Once we get saved, we can't turn it off. Hallelujah. You know, it's according to how he walked with Adam in the cool of the day. And throughout the day, we walk with the Lord. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto us. All right, let's get some scripture flowing here. Okay, the word of God, as we do, as right now, with Minister Smith and I releasing the word of God on the broadcast, and we're releasing it out, the word of God out of our spirits. And what we're doing, we're releasing the presence of God. We're releasing the spirit of God because the word of God is supernatural. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 63 and read that. John chapter 6, verse 63 and read that.
John 6.
63,
and it reads this way. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Amen.
And that's why we worship him in spirit and truth, because our very lives comes out of our spirit by the power of the spirit, comes out of our little spirit by the power of our little S spirit, by the power of the big S spirit, our life, a supernatural kingdom life comes out. And it comes through the word of God, because God's word is spirit and God's word is life. It brings forth God's word. We get it in our hearts and it manifests the supernatural life of God. the supernatural power of God. So God is a spirit. His word is spirit. And his word brings forth life. Life comes out of the spirit. Life is not anything natural. We can't confuse our jaw with life. It's, you know, because of the divine life God has given us. He has blessed us with a job, but that is not our life. Our life is his very being, his very essence, the very essence of who he is. Amen. Now, this scripture we are going to read, I love it. I read it this morning, and I said, God, show me how to get this in the teaching. And it's very, very long, but we have a good reader, and we have an anointed reader. And I just want you to listen to this. You heard the story before, but we're going to hear it again for the first time. So we are going to go into the book of Luke, and we are going to read, starting with verse 26. And we're going to read it all the way to the end. Praise God. Hear it again for the first time.
Which chapter, Minister Copeland?
Luke 1. Luke okay. Chapter 1, starting with verse 26 all the way to the end.
And it reads this way. 26 through?
All the way to the
which
end.
Which verse? All righty.
Okay.
Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel said, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold your maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Verse 44, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. But behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him. For generations to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. And Elizabeth, full of time, came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, she rejoiced with her. It was on the earth eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. Verse 60, his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John.
But amen. We're going to stop there. Amen. We're going to stop there. Amen. And what we want to look at is the angel greeted Mary and told her she was blessed and highly favored. And that blessed and highly favored is the presence of righteous and holy. And Elizabeth even called Mary blessed amongst women. And that blessed is the righteousness and the righteous, the holy position that we take in the presence of God, because of the presence of Holy Spirit. Mary was the first one to receive the Spirit of God even before the death of Christ. Everyone else received the Spirit of God after the death of Christ, which was on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and you can read that. But Mary received the Spirit of God even before Jesus was born, because it was the Spirit of God who fathered Jesus. Jesus was not fathered by a human man, but Jesus was fathered by the Holy Ghost. And that made her blessed and highly favored, which made her righteous and holy. And we want to look at that another translation. Well, there is a couple of religions that worship Mary. They actually spend time worshiping Mary, and that is idolatry, amen, because all worship goes to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And no man, meaning mankind, can take away or steal from his worship. You know, Mary was chosen and Mary was blessed, but Mary do not be get worship. God get all the worship and glory. And just like Mary was chosen, we are chosen too, just like she is. We, me, Minister Smith, you, amen, those around you, everybody in studio, everybody that's listening is blessed and highly favored. That's what they use. They say blessed and highly favored. The angel said that and Elizabeth said that. So let's go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 6.
Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Amen.
Amen. And see, they're talking about us. And what that scripture is talking about us, that scripture is saying that we are accepted in the beloved. Do you know what accepted in the beloved means? I'm glad you asked. It means we are blessed and highly favored. That same blessing when Mary received the Holy Spirit that came upon her, and the angel called her blessed and highly favored, and even Elizabeth called her blessed amongst women. That same blessing she received by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? We got that same presence of the Holy Spirit that came upon Mary. And that presence of the Holy Spirit gives us a righteous standing in the presence of God, gives us a holy standing in the presence of God. And as just was read in Ephesians 1 and 6, we are blessed. We are accepted in the beloved. And the Greek translation for accepted in the beloved is we are blessed and highly favored. Glory to God. Look at somebody and say, you're blessed and highly favored. Amen. Don't leave yourself out. Look at yourself and say, I am blessed and highly favored. And since we all family, just look around and say, we are all blessed and we are all highly favored because we are accepted in the beloved. We are righteous and we are holy. We are right, have a right standing in the presence of God, and we are separated and consecrated for the master's use. Amen. Now somebody may say, I haven't received this Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Well, I tell you what. Today is the day. Now is the time. This is the minute. This is the moment. Glory to God. Where that divine salvation will be released into your heart, into your mind, into your soul. The Spirit of God is already present. And I know when he comes in that power to bring forth salvation, I know what to do. I just stop, I drop, and I pray, and I turn that microphone over to the anointed woman of God that's been called for this hour in this special time to take a people to the foot of the cross to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and his Savior by the power of the Holy Spirit. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Blessings, my brothers and sisters. This is an hour, this is a time for us to get right and to be ready and come to a mindset of acceptance, accepting Jesus Christ for what he did for us on the cross. As we go to the feet of Jesus in prayer, we want to extend Jesus to you. Now, how does that work? How does that happen? Meaning, what do you mean by extending? So, Mission from the Heart, we expose the Word of God by opening the Bible and allowing it to breathe upon us, if you will. We expose it by flipping through the pages of the Word of God, and then we expound on the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We fall into it, if you will. We go deeper into the Word of God to where we can see what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. And this is what Minister Copeland and I do. We expound on the Word of God through reading the Word of God out loud, that you would have an ear to hear. And Minister Copeland will expound on the Word of God and showing us the revelations of God's teaching, that it would be a refreshing to us, a renewing of our mind, that our soul will fall in line with the teaching of the Word of God. And so now it has come to the point, an hour and time in the broadcast, where we extend Jesus Christ to you through salvational prayer, through a prayer of salvation. This is the extension of the hand of God, that he wants you to come in to him, come in to him through salvation. And this is coming to the feet of Jesus, making your petition known, meaning that you are ready, willing, and able to receive the gift of salvation, to receive righteousness and holiness through salvation. This is what Minister Copeland has been explaining and revealing to us through the very pages of God. So that's why we encourage you to come ready with your word, the Bible, your app, your device, and that you come ready with tools necessary to take notes, that you can go back and become more familiar by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So those who may not know God, this is the time, this is the hour that we come to know him by way of salvation. And the word teaches us to do that. So for us to have peace, for us to know God, we have to get to know him through Jesus Christ, according to Romans 5:1. And we've been in and out of scripture today, and Minister Copeland has been equipped by way of the Holy Spirit to reveal to us scripture as we know. So now it's time for us to pray. So for those of you who are listening to this broadcast, it would not be right, as I say, for us to assume that every listener to Mission from the Heart is saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. So we want to give you an opportunity, my brother and sister, to come to know him for yourself. Come to know him for yourself in all humility, in all reverence, and also with humbleness of heart. So as you best know how, ready yourself in all humility, humble yourself in the positional way, whether it's a bowed head, with it, whether it's on your knees, if you're able, whether you have an opportunity to just lay on your stomach as low as you can get, with outstretched hands, with a heart of humility, and that you would surrender yourself to him. And this is a serious time, a serious moment that we don't want to rush through or just take lightly, that we are here with you, praying with you, that you would come to know him so gently and intimately. This is a moment of seriousness. So as we pray together, I encourage the other listeners who already know Jesus. They know that they've given their life to Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank you for now being within the family of faith. The faith that we have is in the one true God. So we encourage you also to pray with our brother or sisters who are ready to extend their heart and their hand to Christ. So let's pray all know how, one with another, from heart to heart, bosom to bosom. So let's pray. Now it's my words, your heart that God sees. And he sees your heart better than man. So let's go in prayer. Lord God, here we are. Here we are. And you would say, Lord God, here I am. With outstretched hands, ready to receive you as my Savior. Lord, I believe by faith that you died on the cross for me, that your blood covered my sins. You died for the sins of the world. And I believe that, Lord God. Thank you for Jesus doing that for me. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace upon grace, covering me, guiding me, blessing me to you. Lord, forgive for what I've done, said, and thought. And I know your forgiveness is forever. Thank you for cleaning me, leading me, holding me, protecting me, sheltering me. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing me, even in my stupidity. Thank you, Lord God, for reviving me in a mindset to be called to you so gently. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace. And thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord, I surrender my life to you. I'm anchored in your love, the love that Minister Copeland spoke about today. It just pierced me. It held me. It stroked me. Thank you, Lord God, for your love unconditionally. You know me. You knew me before I was even born. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. For you are my God. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. My brother, my sister, for accepting Jesus today in your heart. And as you have intimately accepted, surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Now it's time for you to praise him. Praise him, all creatures here below. Hallelujah. We encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church within your community, a church that teaches doctrinal scripture, and that you will grow and go in grace. So we want you to also be baptized by submersion of water within that Bible teaching church, that the world will know that you are a Christ follower. That is a testament to the world. When we get baptized, we are testifying that I am a child of God, that Jesus is my light, that Jesus is my way, that Jesus is my truth, and he is my eternity. Hallelujah. And we are excited, Minister Copeland and I, we are excited for you, with you, because you have done the right thing. Also seek out a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class within that church, my brother, my sister, that you will continue to grow and go along with Mission from the Heart. Hallelujah. We are excited because you have done the right thing. Tell somebody about what you have chosen to do. Let them know your testimony, that they will also be delighted in the Lord. Why? Because of what you have done today. For this day has been set aside for you to come to know Jesus Christ. It is a day of rejoicing, not only on earth, but in heaven. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give Minister Copeland an opportunity to say what he always says, enjoy, for those who have accepted Jesus Christ. Minister Copeland?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Congratulations. Amen. Life has just begun for you. Amen. Even if you think that you had a good life, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Life is getting ready to be 1,000 times better, because now you will no longer be orchestrating your own life, but now God will be calling the shots. And it's according to his will and the divine life that he has purposed for you even before the creation of the world. And it's through a power that is greater than all powers. And now the power of the Spirit of God that he has given you is greater than any opposition spirit that will come out of the kingdom of darkness to try to come against you. So no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It won't work. It won't work. It won't work. Just be obedient to those instructions of find a good Bible teaching church and get on a small group for accountability. Continue to listen to Mission from the Heart. Amen. And we're going to close in this hour, but we will be back with you next week, and I will release the blessings upon you as I go. May the grace of God go before you on this day. May the peace of God rest and abide in our hearts and minds forever. And yes, that love of God that Minister Smith talked about, I talked about, may the love of God overflow out of every one of us, that others may come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I love you. I thank God for you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Minister Smith?
Amen. And on that gracious note and that beautiful, wonderful blessing, we are going to end this particular part of Mission from the Heart. As Minister Copeland says, always be blessed.